everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. Another glorious time in the Lord is ahead of us. I thank God for it. I thank God for all that He says, all the things He makes plain, all the things that I learn from Him. And I promise you, I've said it many times, if I had to lose everything that God taught me and keep one thing, it would be when He taught me how to love His people. Because when I learn to love His people, I enter into another realm of understanding. And it is totally opposite to this, to the course of this world system. I've learned more from God from the time He started teaching me how to love His people. And I was inspired to love His people when I was at my lowest point, about to fight a guy. When the Lord said, I've talked about it in other broadcasts, especially in the beginning of the heart-to-heart broadcast, when He said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And that concept spoke volumes to my heart, and I want to know more about it. Now, God loves us. He is love. You can't separate God from His love. Now, remember, a lot of us are looking forward to the rapture, and we're looking forward to the to when the tribulation days are over. And sometimes we get so frustrated with the world that we want to see God's hand to work against them. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Everybody that gets judged in the tribulation are people that God loves. So the Lord is not looking forward to judging us. He's doing this because He has to. He has to destroy evil. And everybody that attached themselves to sin will be destroyed with their sin. That's not good for them. They rejected God's best, and now God has to go back and punish them for it. They're going to see their planet on fire. They're going to be without a planet to live on. They're going to be captured in the heart of the earth, which is hell. And God he's not looking forward to it. And when I'm in His presence, I see those things. I learn He wants to save as many people as possible. In Revelation chapter 3, He talks about the lukewarm church. That if they don't repent, He's going to spit them out. Now, He gave us all fair warning not to be lukewarm. Some people are listening to me. They lived a phase of their life where they were complacent and just as lukewarm as the people that God's going to spit out of His mouth. But they just repented. You know, when I look back over the course of my life, in 1998, I was so disappointed at the way pastors acted back then that I stopped reading the word like I once did. I didn't stop loving God. I just stopped reading the word like I used to. I said, I'm learning all these things for what? People are not listening. And Dr. Elvis May, I was going to his church at that time. He kept on talking about getting back in the word, studying the word for about a month. And I just got tired of him doing that. I started studying the word so he'll stop preaching about studying the word. And I was still miffed about all the things people were not doing and how I couldn't get my point across, because I was seeing visions of what was possible if they would just submit their lives and follow God. And he was one of them. Good people. I'm not talking about false prophet people. I'm talking about God's men. Now, I've been healed by Dr. May. I've been blessed by his messages. When I had my motorcycle wreck, my left knee was hurting. I saw the anointing on him. I ran down there so he could pray for me. And I said, I ain't tried to run in a while. When I went back to work on Tuesday, you know, I was off on Monday in those days. I said, I ain't tried to run in a while. I just took off running, and my knee hadn't bothered me since the day he laid hands on me. I was blessed by people. I saw God showed me their potential if they follow him. I'm not putting people down by saying that they didn't. I'm just saying what they did. They did not follow God like they could have. They did not take heed to what the Lord was saying. And I knew what would happen if they didn't. And I was frustrated, so I stopped studying the word like I once did in those days. And but after he kept saying study the word, I started back studying the word. And the Lord took me forward. We can all look back on parts of our lives that was lackluster. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like how it should have been. But in 1987, when he taught me how to love his people, a lot of revelation followed my as I endeavored to get to know his wisdom on loving people. My outlook changed, my perceptions changed, and I became more informed. So because he informed me more than what I had before, and I would try to share revelation with others. And I learned a lot of things. Sometimes people are not ready for what the Lord wants them to see, or they're not receptive. And I thought that the people that I thought would rejoice to receive that kind of revelation, they didn't. Some people did, many didn't. Most people didn't. There were very few people. They would come around and talk because they heard something they weren't hearing. And some people were almost ready to leave the church. They got so complacent. And the Lord had, you know, the Lord taught me something years ago as I got in his presence. This was the early 90s. And he said that in the early 90s was my turning point. That's when the Lord really started teaching me. It started with when he taught me how to love. But he explained some things about the anointing. And I'm going to share it with you because I believe it's time to do that. He said, you can teach people in moments what it would take others to months to teach. I said, wait a minute, Lord, say that again. He said, the anointing on me at that time, he said, I can use you to teach people in moments what it would take months for others to teach. All right, so I heard what he said and I understood it. Now, when the Lord says something like that, a part of you could be in doubt because you don't want to, as a man of God that loves God, you want to avoid all forms of pride. But he didn't say that to help me get in pride. He said that for another reason, to show me what could be done through him. All right. So I talked to a policeman at the gym. And a few years after that, and we had a heart-to-heart conversation. We was in there talking about the Lord, and it was just on me to tell him some things. I told him things God was putting on my heart, and we talked for about 15 minutes. And he said, "Man, what I learned from you in 15 minutes." I hadn't received, it would have taken me much to learn that. Now, he said that. He said the same thing the Lord was saying. And another time at the grocery store, there was a lady, she went to a church I went to, one of the churches that the Lord had me to visit. And me and her was talking. And she felt very complacent. She had a husband. He worked two jobs. She had thoughts of divorce, all kind of things. And we sat there and I just shared the word. And I talked about how important it is to receive the word because it builds you back up. I said, this is a dirty world. And when you refresh in the word of God, it's just like taking a bath. You know, the Lord had me putting things in a way that she could receive. And we talked about 10 minutes. 10, 15 at the most, I guess. Just talking about the Lord and how and his principles. And she said, you know, I learned more from you in 15 minutes than I have in a month. In months. That's what she said. And, you know, a confirmation always comes through situations. You know, when the Lord says something, he knows how to show you this is me. Now, this never, it never came close to giving me the big head. Like some people would say, you know, the Lord is doing this and that on in my life. I'm looking at what others could do. Because if the Lord can do great works in one person, he can do it in many people. If they would just follow him, that's your role. Some people love the prestige and pride of this life. I look at capability. What God can do in you if you yield yourself. Now, I have been blessed by people in all walks of life. Some people are just getting started. Some people have been on the road a long time. Some people are professional. Some are not professional. But because of their relationship with the Lord, they have said things that I needed at strategic times. Now, when our focus is on the Lord, when our eye is single, our whole body is full of light. God already put creative abilities in us. And most people don't know what they're capable of doing. Most people don't even know the handiwork God has put in them. There are musicians out there that never picked up an instrument. They are natural musicians. They would be good at it. It would be easy to them. It would be rewarding. But they never bought a saxophone. They never played the piano. They always walked past it. And they love music. But they never tried to play anything. There are people who are natural mechanics. But they never tried to fix anything. They did what was expected of them. My mother told me about a doctor. He wanted to be a mechanic, but his parents made him be a doctor because they were doctors. And every time a car drive down the road, he'd tell you what kind it is, what was wrong with it, just by the way it sounded, because that was his passion. He was living somebody else's life being a doctor. So what he did was he got some money together, closed his practice, and started a shop. He just got tired of, he wanted to do what he loved. Now my mother told me this, I don't know who he was. But there are people who are naturally good at things. God put things in them for a reason. Now I like to know how things work. Just like I do with engines and transmissions and all the parts of a car. I know all the parts, you know, on most cars, what they are. And they change all the time. And I have to always learn how things work. But spiritually, I'm the same way. I ask the Lord how things work. Some people are just not interested in how it works. They're just glad it works. Some people have great ministries, and you ask them, how did you do it? Rob Parsley said, I don't know. Just chase God, and it happens. And that's precisely what the Lord taught me. When you follow God, things start working. God, you know, he can give you all the information you need to do what he wants you to do. He will guide you into his best and most perfect. He'll guide you in the most perfect situations. The heart of his will is what you'll end up doing. And you're already designed to do it. But before you can be released into it, you have to learn his ways. You have to learn how to learn character. Now, I can't show you what you got to learn to get where you got to go. You're just going to have to study the Word of God and he'll show you. I can say this. He will tell you every step you need, he'll show you what to do. Did you know the Lord may have you go to a college for a time? You may take so many classes and he may guide you somewhere else. You might not even get to finish. I'm just using this for an example. I don't know that anybody that has happened to. You know, most people that start, they like to finish, which is good. But you have to pay attention to what God is saying. Sometimes he'll have you to do extraordinary things. He may have you to go to a church for a season. Now, when you go, look for him. Listen to what's being said and apply it. Sometimes people go, well, what does he want me to do here? He wants you to listen and help out. Listen and help out. He might just want you to listen. And if he only wants you to listen, the door won't open for you to help out. And it'll open for others. And you'll say, well, that ain't fair. I was here first. It does not work that way. You have to follow the road God provides for you. He will close whatever door he needs to close and open the ones you need so that you can do his will. I know a pastor, he went to a church. He just wanted to sit in the pew. But he was called to do a ministry. And he tried to hide in church. And every time he went to a church and tried to just hide back there, they would ask him to do something. They put him to work because the anointing was on him. You can't outrun God. You got to do what he say do. And when you do what he say do, it will work. And you got to trust him. It's going to take your faith and your trust. You're going to have to believe him before you see results and after you see results. Faith, trust, before, after. You still got to believe. Now, the last broadcast we did, the Lord had me talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. Now I want to talk about the leaven of Herod. In Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Now this is the same time that the scriptures I read last time in Matthew chapter 16. This is Mark's version. Now sometimes all these guys were there listening to Jesus. But it's just like anybody else. You're going to find differences in the Gospels and similarities in their writings. This is why. They were all listening to what Jesus said and they heard him. It's just like any other conversation. Some things are going to stick out to you more than others. And remember, the Holy Spirit is relaying information the way information is normally preceded. Now, in Matthew's version, it said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It left Herod out. But Mark didn't leave Herod out. This is what Jesus actually said. Well, this is fully what he said. He said, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. That's what he actually said. But Matthew left it out. Mark didn't. So I asked the Lord before this broadcast, what's the difference between the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? And they're different. They're twins, but they're different. Now, as far as twins go, I got cousins that are twins. And I love my cousins. They love me. They're good people. They love God. God loves them. One is Adria, one is Andrea. And I cannot for the life of me tell you which one is which. So all their life, I call them twins. But their mother can tell the difference. Just like Jesus could tell the difference between the Pharisees and the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, I'm just using my cousins to show you that I can't tell the difference, but their mother can. Now, they're not Pharisees and they're not like Herod. They are good. They love God. And I thank God for them. But just like I couldn't make the distinction with them, I couldn't make the distinction with the Pharisees and Herod. So this is what the Lord told me. The leaven of the Pharisees focuses on their prestige. The leaven of Herod focuses on his position. And this is why. The Pharisees hated Jesus because he outdid them. Right, he was healing the sick. They were and they were exposed to be false prophets. Most of them were false. Some really loved God, but some were false. And they all spoke the biblical language, but they hated the word of God. They said that they loved God's word, but they hated the person that inspired it. Remember, the word became flesh and he walked among them. And they hated Jesus. They wanted him dead. The Pharisees wanted Jesus dead more than Herod. The Pharisees wanted Jesus dead much more than the Romans. In fact, Pontius Pilate didn't even want to kill him. His wife even said, "Why should you, have nothing to do against this man?" And he took a bowl of water out there and washed his hands. I washed my hands of this. But the leaven of the Pharisees, they focus on prestige for themselves. The leaven of Herod, it focuses on his position. When Jesus was a lad, all the children around his age, I think it was two, just like in the days of Moses, he had the soldiers go out and kill all the babies that age and down. When the wise men, the magi, came looking for him so they could worship him. Soon as they left, he tried to kill Jesus because the wise men, they called him a king. They wanted to come and worship the king. And they didn't know that Jerusalem was infiltrated with false prophets and an evil king. Now, both of these leavens are very evil, but they're different. They're twins. They're identical twins. But to tell the difference, it took Jesus to show me what's the difference. Because actually, he spoke it like there's no difference, but then he made a distinction. If they were exactly the same, he would have just said the leaven of the Pharisees or the leaven of Herod. But he said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." So, there are some people, they will betray you, they will betray the Lord because they love they're after prestige. And anything that looks better than them becomes their enemy. And then there are those who have position. And there are people that carry themselves in much more wisdom. And they get upset. Both of them, you can trace back to the leaven of Satan. Now Judas, who betrayed Jesus, he was worse than all of them. Because Jesus told Pilate, "He that betrayed me into your hands has the greater sin." Judas knew. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He heard his teaching. He heard the parables. He even heard when Jesus broke the parables down. He rejected the life of God like Satan did. He's worse than the Pharisees. In fact, he actually did all this when Satan entered him. The devil got in Judas's heart. That's the leaven of Satan. Lucifer rejected light to go dark. So the leaven of the Pharisees, they reject the light for prestige. Anything that makes me look not prestigious, I hate. And the leaven of Herod, anything that attacks my position or threatens my position, I hate. Even crazy Herod sent Jesus back to Pontius Pilate. He didn't want to kill Jesus because he didn't see him as a threat. But when Jesus was born, he did. Now this may be his daddy that tried to kill him when he was a baby, because he thought that Israel had a new king and they were going to supplant him. He felt threatened. But the Herod on the scene when they married his brother's wife. Now this guy, he sent Jesus back to, he wanted to see him do a miracle. He heard about the miracles he did. So he didn't have firsthand information. Not taken up for him, but that's just the way it was. Judas had firsthand information. He had more than the Pharisees. He heard the teachings. And the Pharisees never gave him a chance to teach them. They hated him because he was doing the works of God. Because he is the works of God. Because he's the love of God. I'm saying these things because it's out there. This dead influence is out there. And if you can't just not partake of it. You got to be prepare in your heart to fight against it. because the devil is slick. When the anointing comes on you and you start speaking under the anointing and seeing the miracles of God, the enemy will try to tempt you to love prestige and position more than God, even though you're in the position and you're doing the works of God and he's using you. He'll try to make you love the prestige and the position that God has given you more than God. That's why the Holy Spirit has me saying this. This is why Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And sometimes even anointed people, even people that are being used of God, they don't fight and they don't watch out for this kind of treachery. And they partake of it. And they still think they're in sync with God. They still think they're in agreement with God. They still think that they are in the house of God, in the kingdom of God even. Even though they start working evil. Even though that road leads to a lukewarm life, a lukewarm, dead-end life. And some people will even find themselves acting out being the enemy of God. Sin will not let you rest. There's no rest in sin. Sin, when you go down that road, it will corrupt you. I'm not saying this this is nothing to fear. You don't have to fear. You just need to be aware of it. You already have power over sin if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But you have to enforce Satan's defeat. Sometimes when people come up to you say and brag about how you ministered and how you helped them, and they tell you all the little details, don't fall for tricks of the enemy. Don't look at them. Don't look at the honor. Keep looking at the Lord. Keep your eyes single. That's the only way to defeat Satan in this. So, I learned from the Lord to appreciate what he does, and I, with my mouth, I reject what Satan is trying to do in my life, and I speak it. Most of the time, Satan tries different types of tactics. People that you look up to don't always look up to you. Sometimes the people you look up to will be, they'll give you the cold shoulder because you walk in the wisdom of God. Because they never made an enemy out of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now most people, they're not gonna fall for the leaven of Judah. That's them old devils that love the leaven of Judas, of Satan. But a lot of people, by mistake, by not deciding to, they never saw this as a threat. They get used to the praise of men without realizing it's working as leaven. He didn't say it comes on you all at once. It comes on, it creeps in unawares, bit by bit. If you could see the size of leaven creeping in, it would be microscopic at first. And then it'll grow, and it'll be like sand. And over the years, it'll become like rocks, gravel even. And if you don't do anything about it, it'll be like boulders. And next thing you know, you're playing with the world. Starts off microscopic. Leaven, you can't see leaven working. It starts off a little bit. But where does it end? And you know God can't let it in the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is everybody who operates according to his perfect will, or at least his permissive will. They're in the kingdom of God too. But you're not going to be blessed as much as you will be in the perfect will of God. And most of the scriptures that has your blessings in it, many of them are included in the permissive will of God, but you won't see it. You're going to live a much greater life as you operate in the perfect will of God. Some blessings you won't ever get until you're in the perfect will of God, not because of reward's sake, but because of the things you're going. Let me put it this way. When you're in the perfect will of God, you're in a position to learn things you normally can't learn. And even if God told you, you wouldn't believe it. God's not saying I'm going to reward you if you do everything like I'm saying. It's just some rewards you're not going to receive unless you do. You won't receive it because it takes faith to walk in the perfect will of God. In the world, you're going to have another influence. And people will say, if you don't see that person as a threat, you're being unwise. But people that love God, they're not a threat to you. I don't see any of God's people as a threat to what God wants me to do. I thank God for all that he gives me to do. I just try to be faithful. And I really want everybody else in the world to do even better, even greater. I want to do the best I can do, and I would love it if everybody do a much greater job than I can. That means everything is going to be a whole lot better. I don't care about position and prestige. I care about what's possible in you and me and everybody else. Jesus shed his blood. He deserves the people that love him selflessly. Not selfishly, but selflessly.